Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dan Webb was the special prosecutor who was put in charge of investigating Kim Fox's handling of the Jussie Smollett case. He joins us now on WGN Radio. Dan, thanks for taking some time. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I hope you and your audience are all getting ready for a nice holiday season.
That's what I wish for everybody, too. Jussie Smollett was found guilty of 5 counts of disorderly conduct. So at the end of the day, some justice was done, and he'll be sentenced in a couple of weeks. I guess my first question is, how big of a deal is this, then, the Kim Fox office handling of it, when it was ultimately a disorderly conduct case for which they did get 5 convictions?
Well, it depends. Let me tell you my view of it. I've told the court this in connection with the Smollett case. The word disorderly conduct is simply the way Illinois law decides to describe what would be called providing false information to a law enforcement agency. It's a felony. So I don't think anyone is suggesting that what Mr. Smollett did here in deceiving the Chicago Police Department in connection with a fake hoax hate crime was anything other than a serious felony course of misconduct. And that's the way Illinois describes the felony, which is falsely reporting a crime to the Chicago Police Department. And so I think what Mr. Smollett did, I consider serious misconduct. And at sentencing, I'll point out to the judge that it was serious misconduct, but then the misconduct got compounded seriously because during the trial, Mr. Smollett doubled down and decided to give false testimony to a jury under oath for several hours and then was convicted. And so I think between those two kind of courses of conduct, I do consider what Mr. Smollett did here to have been an insult to the Chicago Police Department, to the people of Chicago, and that's why I wanted a public trial to let a jury decide it. The public was entitled to not have the case dismissed for no reason whatsoever, but to put it on trial, let a jury decide what the right result is, and we did that here, and the jury found the evidence to be, I think, very strong and convicted him of 5 felony counts.
Should there be perjury charges against him?
Well, there always is the possibility of that. I'm not going to get into that now, but there's always possibility that that can happen. At the same time, a lot of times in trials, you don't end up having a follow-up prosecution for perjury, but the trial judge has a right. If somebody lies under oath to a trial judge, the trial judge has a right to take that into consideration at sentencing. That's standard operating procedure.
Would you recommend that?
Well, I'm going to tell Judge, I am going to tell the court that there were two serious courses of criminal misconduct here. One was falsely reporting a crime to Chicago Police Department, but number two, it was compounded and enhanced by lying under oath to a jury. Now, what the judge should do is up to the judge. Sentencing is a judicial function. That's not my function. But my job at sentencing is to point out to the judge the seriousness of the misconduct, and then let the judge decide.
I know it's not your job to sentence him, but nobody's more informed about this than you are. What do you think would be an appropriate punishment for Jussie Smollett?
Well, I haven't decided that yet. I've said publicly that when I get closer to sentencing, I have a choice as to whether I will simply point out to the judge the seriousness of the misconduct, and tell the judge I recognize it's his responsibility. And in this case, we have a great trial judge. I mean, the court system here responded to the Smollett situation by really, the court system has gone out of its way to give me a public trial with a great trial judge that administered justice during the course of the trial. And whatever sentence he decides to impose,
that's fair enough.
I will have a lot of confidence in
John. Do you think it should have been televised?
You know what? My position was it was fine with us. We told the judge we were fine with televising it, the judge made a decision that it should not be televised, and I was fine with that decision too.
I thought it should have been televised, not just because I like a good drama, but because I think it is the things you just described, and as a public, particularly in Chicago, we should have had access to it. But actually, the concern now is not so much Jussie as it is Kim Fox. What was the biggest lie, mistake? What was the biggest error of their ways in that office?
Well, John, I think the biggest error was that when they indicted the Smollett case in 2019 and did so based on what they, being the state's attorney's office, considered very strong, powerful, overwhelming evidence. They indicted the case, and then somehow within 2 weeks, that office made a decision to dismiss the case outright, to not require Mr. Smollett to plead guilty to anything, not require that he admit his guilt, not require that he pay full restitution, not require that he go into what's called a diversion program. They simply wiped everything out in 2 weeks, dismissed the case, and Mr. Smollett went in front of the courthouse and told Chicago he can do whatever he wants to do and walked away. I thought that was wrong, okay? And that communicated to the public that we have a dual system of justice in Cook County in the criminal courts. One system for the ordinary person that comes into contact with the court system, and another for the privileged. That perception was why a special prosecutor was appointed, because the public had lost confidence in the criminal justice system, according to Judge Tooman, and that's why he appointed a special prosecutor. I think the way they resolved the case was a gross abuse of discretion, and there was you can tell from my report, we investigated it thoroughly down to its toenails, interviewed 43 different people were interviewed, and the bottom line is that the only conclusion that can be reached is that it was a gross abuse of discretion and a complete operational failure in the state's attorney's office.
I understand that, but do you think, how did Kim Fox respond to your questions? Do you think she lied to you?
Well, no, actually, Kim Fox, when I interviewed her, she candidly admitted that the way her office disposed of the case, she disagreed with. She said it was wrong to just dismiss the case. She was shocked and surprised what happened. And so her testimony to me, which is set forth in the report, is that her own admission is that this case was disposed of in a highly unusual way, no change of evidence whatsoever, no justifiable reason to dismiss the case, and she herself said she was surprised. So I accepted that as pretty fundamental evidence that clearly my conclusion that it was an operational failure, I think, was the right conclusion.
That's fair enough, but that sounds like incompetence, not deception. You don't think that she lied to the public?
Well, no, that's not accurate. In the report, we pointed out numerous false statements that Ms. Fox and the office made. Yeah. They made false statements to the media over and over again about why they disposed of the case the way they did, why she was recused. And so those false statements to the media, to the public, are detailed in some detail. And after I detailed the evidence, I pointed out that there's certainly a possibility this violated the ethics of lawyers, and it's been reported to the attorney registration committee for a review of the case.
The attorney registration and disciplinary committee. Previously, you said you weren't sure if you were going to report her to them. Have you?
Well, I did, and I did state I did. I didn't have. First of all, the law requires me to report it. Anytime a lawyer believes that other lawyers have engaged in possible misconduct, we have to report it. So I had no choice. Okay. So, yes, I reported. My report has gone to the Attorney Registration Disciplinary Commission, as I was required to do under the law, and they have it, and they can do
it. I'm out of time, Dan Webb, but my last question for you is, what should be the disposition then of Kim Fox? Should she be allowed to keep her position, or should we leave it up to the voters at the next election?
My job is to be totally independent and render a report. Whatever happens there is, I have no issues about it whatsoever. It's no problem whatsoever. Whatever is decided by the voters is fine with me.
It's nice to talk to you, Dan. This has been a busy time for you, and I'm glad that you've got the report in when you did. Thanks for sharing some of your thoughts with us today.
You have a nice, happy holidays.
That's Dan Webb, the special prosecutor for the Kim Fox case.